here's the other thing too. When people say my Lyme or my whatever, I stop them. And I said, do you realize what you just said? You are claiming what you don't want. So we're going to start there. And we're going to rephrase that so you can manifest that which you desire. Because when we state out to the universe, this is how I'm feeling or I am, and it's not what you want, let's bring consciousness to that.
Welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast, brought to you by AmpCoil. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we discuss the common thread survivors share after walking through the fire, the practitioners making a difference, and the treatment modalities that deliver healing back into the hands of the people who need it most. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. All right, Carrie Usselman, welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to be with you this morning.
I'm honored to have you here, and the audience is going to be honored when they hear all the incredible tools that you bring to the table when you're working with someone. But before we jump in, I was just wondering if we could just get, if you could get everybody listening to this podcast a little synopsis of what you do.
All right. I am a holistic wellness practitioner, and I weave so many different things together. It started with biofeedback, and then I pulled in cranial sacral therapy and somato-emotional release, and then I added complex homeopathy, energy work. It really all started with energy work, and then I kind of launched into this. Language of the heart, sounds. I have a cold wave laser that I integrate. I use tensor technology, which are these beautiful rings of light. My voice. And as I have worked with people over the past couple decades, the analytical piece of me really has settled into the heart even more deeply. And they just kind of dance in the fields to support what's ever needed.
Beautiful. Oh man. I wish you lived closer. That's all I have to say.
I love that.
So if we're looking at that amazing toolbox that you have, what started you on the path to wanting to help people, wanting to take people from a place of, let's call it the struggle bus or lack village, to a place where they're really thriving?
Right. It started with my own journey being frustrated with quote solutions that really didn't feel like solutions. And I went to a wellness fair in Madison, Wisconsin with two of my really close girlfriends. And at the time I didn't even have $5. And I was going and looking at all these tables, and this one booth was quantum biofeedback. We'll do a health analysis for $20. And I'm like, man, I don't have $20. And toward the end, this woman just said, why don't you just come and sit down? I said, I can't pay you. She's like, just come sit down. And I said, all right. And it was a 10-minute session. And she said, oh my gosh, you have L4, L5. I'm picking up anger and Hashimoto's hypothyroidism. And my eyeballs went like, how do you know that? You know, it took doctors like 10 years to figure out the thyroid thing. And she looked at me and she said, there are career opportunities with this technology. And my whole body had goosebumps. And I'm like, okay. And I thought about it for 10 days and it was just constant in my mind. And that's how I launched into this truly. And I began to trust the universe. And when I became a Reiki master teacher, my Reiki master teacher said, Carrie, you're going to continue to get whacked by the cosmic 2x4 until you listen. Mm. And I had enough whacks. And I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And I took a second mortgage out on my house to pay for the device. And my boys were little munchkins at the time. I was working four jobs. And I thought, I'm just going to do this. And most people would think I was crazy. I don't think I'm crazy, maybe my version. And I bought it and I got trained, and that was the opening. That was the opening to my practice. And I told the universe, okay, here's the deal. If I have this much money, so this was in August and I gave myself until April, but I did launch my LLC in January and I started playing with it. I said, if I have this much money by April, I'll quit all my jobs and I'll do this full time. And I did.
All the jobs. I know what that's like, having so many plates spinning that are bringing in income to support. Yeah. Not only that, but you had four little guys. Now, where are you located in the country?
I am in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oh, I just wanted to hear you say Oshkosh.
I know I have that. I have the Midwestern accent. I definitely have a Wisconsin accent. And I lived in Florida for a while. And I thought, when I came back, I heard holy cow all the time. And I'm like, oh no, I just can't say that. And then one day I said, holy cow. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no, it's very similar. It's very similar to Rochester, New York, Rochester, Buffalo. We have that very wide vowel, Rochester.
And I'm from Minnesota, so you can hear them in a, oh, the soda.
Yes, yeah, we're probably linked in another life somehow that way. So you've got this device that you invested in, and you're going to start this new business plan. What was the price point for a quantum biofeedback machine?
My investment at the time was $25,000.
Wow. What a leap of faith.
It was a huge leap of faith.
Yeah. Not something that someone would consider a conventional healing tool, if you will.
No, it's not conventional at all.
Can you take us into what is, for those who don't know, quantum biofeedback?
I will share my version of.
I would love that.
Quantum biofeedback. It is this magnificent device that picks up stress in the body at very subtle levels. And there are over 11,000 stress reactions in there that are frequency based. And when a client comes in, typically I'll start out with biofeedback with a new client, and our session. My first session is like 2.5 hours because I do a very thorough intake. The paperwork alone takes about an hour, and they record things they tell me what's going on in their bodies, including what they eat, how they're feeling, emotional and physical traumas. I have like a little body chart that they will fill out. And I look at that. And then with the biofeedback, when I run someone on that device, and there are leads that hook up to the wrists and the ankles, and you can do a headband. I don't really use that anymore. And there's a spine pad too. What I found with a headband, people that are super sensitive and tend to get headaches or migraines, it wasn't working. And the efficacy of the device, I find that I don't even need the leads, but I use the leads, and people that do quantum biofeedback might be going, oh my gosh. But quantum is the smallest pocket of energy, and energy is everywhere. So if we think about prayer, we're not hooked up to our meridian points to universal oneness, God, whatever you want to call it.
Access source, sure.
Right. So once I have somebody sitting, I put them into my device. It takes about 5 minutes to go through 11,000 stress reactants in there, and they're rank ordered from acute all the way down the line. So I look, and I will take their chief concerns. And so a piece of my brain is super analytical, and the other pieces of me are so intuitive. So I'll look for a common denominator. And I would say, I was thinking about this, probably 75% of the people have a common denominator. Example, there was an older gentleman who came to see me who worked with concrete. He had a concrete statuary business, and his role in the business was to repair broken concrete statues. And he came to see me because he was getting these like boils. They look like boils, these big
Sure.
I mean, on his head, on his arms, on his leg. Wow. And with all of his concerns, the common denominator was a chemical that was in the glue. So I wrote this down, this chemical, and I said, why don't you check the glue that you're using? And he called me back. He said, Carrie, this isn't the glue. And I said, well, is your space ventilated? No. Are you wearing gloves? No. I said, can you ventilate it? He said, no. He's in a barn. He said, no. I said, can you wear gloves? He said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, we've identified the stress and you really need to take action or get a different job. Yeah. But I found that fascinating.
So what did he do?
He did neither.
Oh,
he did neither.
He's like, I'll just live with the boils.
I know. He did neither, but his wife was really happy that we found the common denominator, and eventually they did sell their whole business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I worked with him with smoking cessation on this device too, and just two sessions, he stopped smoking, and he didn't
really.
He did not want to. Two sessions, boom. Yeah, so there's an inversion component on here where you can put a substance on the test tray.
It's
like a box, and you can invert and create like an allergic reaction. So people that have addiction to certain things, including cigarettes, you can put the cigarette on there. He went out and he took a couple drags on his cigarette, put it out, came back into my office, and then we did the inversion. And, you know, he's my star case for that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the stress reactions, people will say, what I love about the device is that it's truly holistic. So we get physical stress, emotional stress, and spiritual stress. So I'll look and I'll be like, oh, you know, are you feeling blah, blah, blah? And my clients will look at me and they're like, is that thing a lie detector test? No, but your body is sharing what it really would like to be uplifted and balanced. And so then we go from there. And I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, that's incredible. No, it's a great start. You can start to picture how it's taking information from the body. It's very interesting to think that the body is on a very, very subtle energy level, is already giving you these clues years and years and years. We ever get to the stage 3 and 4 metastatic cancer or the full out Hashimoto's, but there are clues in the body that we just need to listen for.
Absolutely. And that's truly the beauty of the device. And I feel that most of the clients who come and seek my services are desiring to be proactive. That's one category. And the other group of people who come are those that have tried so many different things. And then somehow they hear about me and then we get to work together, bring them back to center.
There's examples of this and let's say you go into a hospital, there's diagnostic tools they use to pick up subtle energies. Like in my head, I'm just thinking of, well, we have an ultrasound, which is using a little bit of sonic wave for some imaging. We've got the EKG, which is taking electrical readings from the heart. We've got like an MRI machine, which is magnetics. I actually just talked yesterday. I was connected with someone on the phone. His father invented the MRI.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. They have a whole family and everybody in the whole family does imaging. And they're like these super, super experts. But it's out there. And I know sometimes the only reason I bring that up is because sometimes it feels like such a jump for people in belief. They're like, quantum, what, biofeedback? And it's in that family of diagnostic energy tools that are taking a reading.
Yes, but in the field of quantum biofeedback, the word diagnostic is, doctors can use that word.
Yes,
doctors,
I love it.
Can use that word.
Yeah. How would you phrase that? Is it a gentle suggestion that you might want to look here? Is it like a Is it like a priority snapshot of things coming across the finish line that day?
It's what's relevant that day. There are different ways to look at the stress reactions and the rank order, where there's so much training that goes into this device. It's quite extensive. There are different ways to look at that data. And oftentimes we can see, depending on the colors of the stressors. So if it's red, like that's acute. If it's yellow, it's like a couple weeks in the background. And depending on the concerns, you can kind of get a feel. I have a feel if something has been in the system for quite some time and really needs to be addressed, actively addressed, versus, oh, we can do a little bit here and there. Another, I'll give you an example. I've worked with a woman for many, many years. And one of the first times she came to see me, at almost every single panel that I looked at, that I checked regarding her complaints, I got bone cancer, bone cancer, bone cancer. I did not use those words. And I said, when's the next time you're going to see your doctor? And she said, and I have an appointment this week. I said, why don't you have him assess your bones? That's all I said. And he ended up doing a bone biopsy where she had a significant pain. And that was her diagnosis. But I would never implant that idea because it generates so much fear. But let's be mindful and check this out. Let's just check it out. It could be nothing.
Yeah.
Or it could be something. And I don't even want to put that energy into it. Yet, if there is what I feel like is an urgency, I will recommend that. I would say, you know, seeing these stressors on here, I think it would just be a good idea to check this out in a different way.
Yeah.
If people need that kind of information, and some people don't, and they're ready to dive in with homeopathy or herbs or energy, food changes, or all of the above.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So you've got this great tool it's one device, you know, is the special sauce where you bring people into wellness. What are some of the other things that you really find move the needle for you and your that you're working with?
So I'm going to give you another example where we started with biofeedback. And this was a 40-year-old male. And he had this inkling in his brain that when he turned 40, he was going to die. When he turned 40, he got this terrible, incapacitating lower back pain. And he had tried different things, and somehow he heard about me, and he came from several hours away. So we made a little bit longer session. And when I pulled up the biofeedback, in the top 10 out of 11,000 was droning. And obviously he's still here. And I said, did you ever have a near drowning experience, or did somebody close to you drown? He said, oh no. I'm like, okay. So he got on my table, and I do cranial sacral therapy and somato-emotional release, and I love facilitating that. And it's beyond just the cranial sacral release of soft tissue and muscle memory, because all of that, really what I've observed is there's an emotional component holding a pattern. And when that pattern can release, the body gives a sigh and comes back into balance. So with this particular client, he's on my table. It was his lumbar spine. So I kind of had my hand sandwiched, and he went into what's called a still point, where the body becomes completely still. And I said to him, what are you thinking, or where are you? And he said, oh my gosh, I'm in the water. I said, how old are you? 23. I said, where are you? California. What's happening? And he was being pulled out by the riptide. And he went like spring break or something with a bunch of buddies, and he did. He almost drowned, but he forgot. And all that fear went into his lumbar spine. So if he would have had surgery, it wouldn't have fixed the problem at all. So the biofeedback gave me that clue that was missing, and maybe it would have come up on the table anyway, like that memory would have triggered, but at least I had an inkling. And I said, okay, we're going to remind your tissue and your cells and your low back that you're not 23 and you're safe. And that holding pattern that helped you survive to keep you alive when you thought you didn't have any more strength to keep yourself above, that pattern can release now. You're okay. And let's bring that piece back to yourself to give you the strength of your whole being. And so we worked on that piece, and he got off my table at the end of the session. No back pain. He could walk, and it stayed. You know, there's staying power to that.
Wow.
Was beautiful. And he was so grateful. And I'm always grateful. But that was fun.
It's so amazing you get to be there to witness those things and be that facilitator for that change. That's powerful, that idea. You can see that picture. And I witness this all the time. You know, I have lots of devices in my apartment that I use, lots of healing modalities. And it's always different when there's somebody else there. It could be them turning the thing on and like just putting their hands on my feet before I start, or putting a warm blanket on you. It's like, it's a night and day experience. But, and I just keep coming back to it, that it, when somebody is there holding space for you and really like honoring, I hold the space for you to get through what you're struggling with, it works. It works.
Yes. And thank you, Freddie, for saying that. You know, the intention, the conscious intention of holding the space and entering into that shared space with presence is so valuable and important. And there are many beautiful practitioners out there. And I feel that the ones who enter the space with heart presence get different results.
Yeah. As opposed to someone, and we've all been to a myriad of different practitioners over our lives. I'm sure you have. I know I have.
Yes, I have.
I've been to people that were just so sterile and so clinical, and just, you know, here's some pills, here's prednisone, here's some indomethacin for the pain, you know, go be on your merry way. And then I've had, even in that realm, I've had sports medicine doctors who were not holistic, but they would like, they inherently were healers. And I remember one time I was having this, I had a section of twisted intestine, small intestine, which I have a history of small bowel adhesion. So for years I would like be rushed to the emergency room. Sometimes they'd like take out a foot of bowel. And then sometimes it would just be 3 days like laying in a hospital bed vomiting. And this one time I was having an attack. I went into my sports medicine doctor, and he just gently put his hands on my rib cage and just said, breathe one moment for me. And he just pushed down and it went, and it released. It was incredible. He didn't do any manual therapy. He just touched my stomach. And he just, you know, it was one, I always remember that specific experience. And I was like, this guy's got power, you know, and he's still one of my good friends, Dr. Rao. He's an amazing, amazing sports medicine doctor.
And it's interesting. And I, when people might reflect that to me, like, oh, you're so powerful. And I'm like, no, I'm being present with you. And the only way that what's happening in our space could happen is because you allowed yourself to be present. So it's about presence. And I remind them of that. And I remind my clients of their beautiful gifts too. I'm not any different. We all come in with our gifts to share, like your gifts and doing your amazing work that you do with technology, because that's not my gift. In your heart, that you bring out these beautiful, beautiful pieces. I was thinking about biological decoding. That's another modality that I weave into my sessions. And biological decoding has roots in, some people say hammer, some people say hummer, medicine, which is the new German medicine. Dr. Hummer was a German oncologist who, looking at CAT scans, was able to map. Are you familiar with him at all?
I'm not, no.
Okay, so he mapped the brain, and where there were these bullseye images in the brain, he discerned through thousands and thousands of CAT scans that this spot in the brain related to this body part, and this related to another body part. And when he did the emotional work with his patients, and I can say his patients because he was an MD, if they had cancer, like 90% of the time it would go away.
Wow.
Because of the biological downloading of a traumatic experience that was, could not be resolved. So with biological decoding, when somebody has a traumatic event in their life, it's sudden, there's no solution, they can't talk about it in a way that any, like they might share it, but people don't get it. The brain says, okay, I need to function by breathing and getting the heart going. We don't have a solution, so boom, it downloads into the organ that will facilitate that solution. Like if somebody is grieving, it will go into the lungs. And what's fascinating, so I learned from a gentleman called Enrique Barone, who's kind of the third generation of this. So it went from Dr. Hummer to Dr. Claude Sabat, who is a French MD psychiatrist, to Enrique Barone, who lives in Argentina. And I learned from him out in California a couple of years ago. I took 3 out of 5 modules. And because I weave, that felt enough for me. I'm really happy. And I'm not called to do the other two, and that's okay. What stands out too is like when people get a diagnosis that feels incredibly devastating and life-threatening, the typical secondary diagnoses end up either affecting the lungs or the bones. So for example, you know, there's so much cancer these days. And when people hear that, perhaps with all the therapies they go through, they're good for a while, but then they get a secondary cancer down the road when something else is triggered. When they get hear that diagnosis, oftentimes it is, I think I'm going to die, and they have all this grief and it ends up in the lungs. So lung cancer can be a secondary cancer down the road, or bone cancer. And the thought is, I don't know if I'm strong enough to get through this. So when I work, when I have the privilege of supporting people on their journeys with cancer, we explore those biological downloads so that as they receive whatever treatment they choose, we're going to get that energy cyst away, out, lift it out, so the true healing can come into balance. And, you know, I have so many tools, people say gadgets, and they're beautiful. The dialogue is also really, I feel it's a critical piece to the healing journey.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. Carrie, I would love to talk about a little bit. I know you've had, we touched on this for a moment. You've had your own journey through life, and you've had some peaks and some valleys and some things you've struggled with. Can you talk a little bit about your story?
Sure. I really, you know, it's like, where's the beginning? Yeah, and I'll get into my story in a moment, but I want to just touch on the biological decoding piece, because sometimes the expression of dis-ease in the body is part of the ancestral lineage. Like I was working with this beautiful mother, and her son was a heroin addict, you know, and it didn't make any sense. But when we did the biological decoding, the son, her husband, and her husband's father were all the firstborns. And at this specific age, like when they were 16 years old, the addiction started. There were different types of addiction. And they were all incarcerated when they were 18. And that got passed down the lineage because nobody was able to resolve it. So bringing that piece into the consciousness, like with her son, and she had a dialogue with him to say, you know what? This can stop here. This can stop right here. That's fascinating. So when people think about the lineage on both sides, the mother and the father and the birth order, including any miscarriages or abortions, that counts as birth order. Where are you in the lineage? To see if there are any similarities in expressions in the body. It's truly fascinating.
It is fascinating, but it also, I want, yes, I know people that are like, what? So how do we bring people to a little bit of an understanding that we can have energies from past life? Can we link that into the quantum level of what we were talking about earlier?
Yeah. And if people are uncomfortable with past life, I like to use the word soul experience.
Okay.
Soul experience. And we start with, like, you know, when our body is no longer our soul is always. So that is a little stepping stone. And when I talk about DNA imprints, it's the ancestral lineage, like the generations that go back in time. Does that help, Freddie?
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me try to wrap my, if I'm just going to speak off the cuff here. So we know that environment affects our genetics. So the way I choose to eat, drink, sleep, love, walk around the planet is going to affect the way my DNA is expressed. So there's a degree of evolution within my little life to my genes. And we could say that that's imprinted into, if I have offspring, to my next generation. Would that be fair to say?
That is fair to say.
And
let's say whatever stirred all this intestinal piece, these pieces with you, when that emotional piece is freed, and if down the road you have children, they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
They're not imprinted. They are released because you freed yourself.
Yeah.
And because you freed yourself, you free also the soul, existing soul pieces energetically of your grandparents, their great grandparents, and it goes forward and back.
It goes both ways. I've heard that saying before. When you heal yourself, you go seven generations forward and back.
Yes.
I like that a lot. It really puts it in a different, you have a different level of responsibility for taking care of yourself. You really are taking care of your family, your extended seven generations when you take care of yourself.
Yes. And that piece, when people realize that piece, what I observe is that they're more willing to do their work. They're more willing to do their work because it extends beyond them.
I love that. I love that. I need to incorporate that. Yeah, that's really big. That's a big piece. Let's talk a little bit about Lyme disease. Bam.
Bam.
Now I know you're in an area. I mean, listen, we're all in an area. I feel like it's one of those things. We talk about it a lot on the show. We have a lot of people struggling. You know, I've had a couple people in Australia. We had Pete Evans on, and we had Nellie Robinson, who's a very famous chef. You know, these guys are both movers and shakers in Australia, and it's one part of the world where it's not recognized. People cannot even get treatment. You know, the government doesn't recognize it as a disease. It's even difficult for people to get just the baseline antibiotics for Lyme disease in Australia. So I know it's a hot button on the topic for, you know, the tips of the tongue of people seeking better health. So let's talk a little bit about your experience with Lyme.
All right. I was diagnosed with Lyme in 2013, and I know all the checklists. I do this with my clients. What are your symptoms? But for myself, I think I was so close to it. I couldn't see. I love being outside and walking and hiking and being in nature. And I've done a lot of that. And I couldn't even walk around the block, like a half a block. And I was studying this program. I would read. I'm like, I don't even remember the words in the sentence I just read. And so I rarely go to the doctor just because it took like 10 years for them to diagnose me with the hypothyroidism, and they kept saying everything's fine. And I'm like, it's not fine. I'm not fine. So I went in, and again, I was 48, and they said, you're just getting old. I'm like, I'm not old. I'm a very vibrant person, but I do have pain. So I called this beautiful doctor. I know Dr. Kevin Green. He's amazing. And we're gifted to have him right here in Oshkosh. And he's a Lyme specialist. And he left the system to serve in a way that was actually life-giving. And he said, oh, come in. And I did. And they did a lying down and standing up blood pressure, which was never done before. And I was 40 points different. It was back to back. And I was like, oh. And I have low blood pressure anyway. And it was, I was like stunned. And he said, okay, we're going to do an EKG. I said, all right. And he's looking at it, and he's like, there's this 100-point spike here, Carrie. I said, well, my heart has been kind of interesting. He said, I really think you have Lyme in your heart. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then the next was the blood draw. He said, now I can do these very specific blood tests. And they both came back positive. And I was in shock. But the gift in all of this is I'm better. And I have explored more tools. And kind of thinking back, you said, when did this kind of start? I don't know. But I remember when I was 26. My parents were in Minnesota in Woodbury, and they were in a suburb, but there was this little wooded area, and I went and I hiked, and my boys were little. No, I didn't have boys yet. I had them when I was in my 30s, so scratch that. But I remember going and coming back, and after taking my hiking boots off, I had hundreds of ticks on my body. I don't remember any being embedded, but It was, I just felt sick just taking all of these off.
Yeah.
So in the same year, I went up to Quantico, and like on a 2-week, canoe thing. And I was just married, and we made this canoe, a wood canoe, epoxy canoe. I'm now have an epoxy sensitivity. It's like, I can't even be around that stuff. Who wants to? It's very toxic. But we made this beautiful wood canoe with and made a sail in it so we could just traverse the lakes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on the way home, the bearing in the back wheel of the car took a dive, and I was driving. So that's I couldn't drive for a year after that. Fishtailed, and the canoe, I believe, saved our lives because the car didn't roll. It flipped end over end.
Wow.
And as a result, standing there waiting. So there are more gifts. So within 5 minutes, there was a car of nurses and a big bus full of doctors. And they said, are you guys okay? And this big strong guy just like got us out of the car. But in the process, I had so many black fly bites on the back of my neck. And that could have been the start.
Mm-hmm.
And also in that same year to go to grad school, I was in Wisconsin. I went to Tallahassee in Florida State to work on a doctorate degree in education. And they wouldn't accept my childhood vaccination. So I got 3 rounds of full vaccinations. And I didn't know at the time, in 1 month. So we had the tick thing, the black fly bite thing, and the vaccinations. And that began like a little spiral. So fast forward, took a while to get diagnosed with the Hashimoto's, which they can't find in my blood anymore. And I feel so incredibly balanced now. I've done herbs. I have a really joy-filled I've created a joy-filled life for myself. I woke up, I don't know, 8 years ago, like a light switch. I wasn't raised vegetarian. I gravitated to that. I've had little periods of time, but it was like, this is it. No going back. And in the last probably 2 years, now I'm vegan. So organic, clean, vegan, everything's, you know, as clean as can be. And I know that the vibrancy of what we ingest matters. It matters so much. You know, if we eat the emotions of the fear of what we're consuming.
Yes.
And somebody's already fearful and anxious.
It's all energy, isn't it?
Yeah. So that, I guess, is my story. And that, and in the process, you know, that really led me into these other ways to bring balance into the whole aspect of our being. So the biofeedback does that. Then I did the somato-emotional release and cranial sacral therapy. And I remember one of my classes, I forgot that I had my tonsils out when I was 5. And then I could feel like the tube in my throat. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But then that all cleared. That was good. So the cranial, the somato-emotional release, I have a cold wave laser, a scalar wave laser. And I love the laser. So again, I weave. I brought in complex homeopathy. So the motivation behind learning more is I would see certain clients plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn something out there that I don't know yet that can assist them continue. So that was really that's always the motivation.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And now, do you work with a lot of people that are struggling with Lyme in your area?
I do. Yes, you're honing me back in, Freddie. Thank you.
No. We can, Leslie, we could float wherever in this conversation. Yes.
So I see more and more and more of that, or people are not diagnosed with, because I had 2 blood tests from my doctor and they came back negative. And when I had them with my beautiful MD colleague, he said, I don't even know how you're functioning because my numbers were so extreme. But yet the regular tests came back negative. And so I'll have clients say, well, yeah, I had a Lyme test, came back negative. And I'm like, So I do muscle testing as well. And I have little vials that I use, and oftentimes they'll go weak. Are you familiar with the little vials of muscle testing, Freddie?
Yeah, I've actually done that. It'll be, you know, someone will put a vial of mercury in your hand and they'll see you hold it out in your arm, and you can kind of see if your muscle goes strong or weak. But I've done it with quite a few chiropractors.
It's more common in that area. Although when I've trained, I was actually, my first trainer was with a medical doctor and he was a cardiologist, and he started training in this because he found that through nutrition, he could bring his patients back into balance and avoid whatever surgeries they needed. And I don't do the arm piece. I do what's called a bidigital O-ring. So the client, I'm wrapped around the thumb and either the middle finger or the ring finger, depending on where we get a lock. Yeah. We go in and it's kind of like a book hinges, and we get a base. So I have my clients say their name. So if I was working with you, you'd say, my name is Freddie, and make sure that's like a rock.
Yeah.
And then say, oh, my name's Sarah. And if you come apart, well, good. So the hand reflects all the neurology, all the networks in the brain, and it's a true or false. So when I put something into the field and it goes weak, we know that if it's a supplement, they don't need it. And if it's a pathogen, we need to support that. So whether or not they've have a formal diagnosis, if they go weak, they come to me because they want support. And I'm not diagnosing anything, but I can bring in an herb. And with Lyme, especially, most people are not aware of the biofilm around the Lyme or the co-infection, and it's so important to dissolve the biofilm by using a systemic enzyme. So I'll bring those in too.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. And what are some of the other tools you use for Lyme with your people?
I use a technology called the AMP coil, and that's what got me back online, the AMP coil. So I have 3 AMP coils, and I have an AMP coil lounge now, and that is a frequency sound device that assists bring the body back into balance. And it's so incredibly user-friendly, and originally was developed for an at-home device because people need frequency to help their bodies remember what balance is. And the beautiful thing about frequencies, let's say a pathogen has a frequency like this, but it is a counter frequency and they neutralize. And
So for people not so people listening in the car, she's doing like the little, if you've ever driven along in your car and you put your hand out in the air and you just kind of let ride the wave. So she's making this smooth wave. So we're seeing this wave go one way. We'll say left to right. And then you said, Carrie, like the counter frequency of that wave would be going the opposite direction
in
a very similar, smooth.
But the same wavelength. And so when they come into contact with each other, they will neutralize.
And to make neutral, I like to say it's neutral. It's no longer harmful. You're like harmonizing, correct?
You're harmonizing. Mm. It comes into harmony. So I have people say, oh, is this going to cure me? And it's like, no, we're not going to use that word. We're going to assist your body regain balance. And we need to continue, just like food. I mean, you don't just eat one day and don't eat the rest of your life, right? We need to sustain the balance.
Yeah. No, I love that. Sustain the balance. You know, I often tell people that, you know, I always use the figure and I've just heard it's wrong. My mom always busts me on that. She's like, well, you used to say, I'm like, well, the doctors changed their mind, or the independent research bodies changed their mind. But there's, you know, I always use the figure. It's 10-1 outnumbering, you know, bacteria to human cells. And now there's new data coming back at 6, more like 1-1, really. But it's a balance. You know, and our human DNA is outnumbered. So to think you're going to do some modality that's going to go in and just indiscriminately pick out all the little bad guys and kick them out of the sandbox is ridiculous. It's like, how else would we think to bring the body back into balance other than harmony, working with frequency, working with sound? And I try to, you know, to say everything has this vibration, like the antibiotic has a vibration. It has a frequency.
Everything has a vibration. And this goes back to your very first question about the quantum piece, vibration. And when you can make that tangible through examples with somebody who's like, what is that? Eventually we find that piece where it makes sense to them. The other thing that I very much just love about the AMP coil, so with the biofeedback device, it has leads that go across the wrists and the ankles, the meridian lines, to collect the data. Each stress reaction is measured 1/100th of a second, 3 times. With the AMP coil, there is a voice print. So people speak for like 1.5-2 minutes, and it will pick up the frequencies in their voice to discern imbalances in the notes of their organs and nutrition and then the pathogens. So think of like the liver has the note G and the heart has the note A, however, and if they're off, that's going to come up in a little like bar graph in the Better App Guide, which is it's an app on a computer pad. And then what am I saying? Help me, Freddie.
No, that's the Better Guide app. You're right.
Yeah, the Better Guide app on a tablet. That's what I'm meaning to say. And that piece is the golden nugget of the technology, I feel, because it can pick up those harmonic stressors And then you can run journeys to that correlate with those stressed notes to come back into balance. And I see this over and over and over again where people are like, oh my gosh, I woke up without pain. I can actually think. I could wash my dishes today. For the first time, I went to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I was able to read a book to my daughter. You know, things that we, when people who aren't imprinted, we take that for granted. And it's such a gift when those small things that are small but so joy-filled to be able to do something. You know, for me to be able to walk around the block the first time without pain, I was like floating a foot off the ground. Mm-hmm. I was so happy. And then probably 2 years, like in 2015, I went to Costa Rica with my boys who are, what were they, 20 and 22 then? And we hiked this. We went to the, oh gosh, they always like, mom, you say it wrong. Cerrado trails. We climbed this volcano and like it was vertical. It was a vertical hike through mud and trees and roots and big thorns coming off them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and they looked, cause it was tough for them. And they're like, I can't even believe you made it. I'm like, yeah, I made it. Yeah. Yeah. That was fabulous. So that I'm so grateful. And that was probably when I first started using the AMP coil, and it brought me such incredible restoration to my whole being. And I'm forever, forever grateful for that. And so, Freddie, you said, what do you do to support people with Lyme? I use herbs. I use enzymes. I use homeopathy. There's Ceres homeopathy that can be beautiful. You know, everybody's just a little bit different. And then the frequency support. And it's never typically just one thing. Mm-hmm. It's an orchestra. And then we also talk about food and inflammatory foods. So if you're having inflammation, dairy, sugar, any kind of gluten, inflame the joints. They do. And so how about if we experiment? You know, you don't have to go cold turkey. People are like, I don't know how to do that. We just, we start where they can.
Yeah.
And then if they feel better, then they're more willing to take the next step. And they do feel better by eliminating these things. And I am starting to evolve. People say, oh, how do you do this? How do you do that? So it's coming. It's coming very soon where you can just tap on something. I have to figure that out. And you can watch me create in my kitchen.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's coming.
I want to be respectful of your time. I want to get to a couple of questions before we end here.
Sure.
Carrie, what does it mean to you to be beautifully broken? I ask this of everybody that's on the podcast.
To be beautifully broken is to be able to be in that place of joy inside and radiate it out to others. Once we, you know, I can't say I could radiate anything. In 2013, I just was kind of in this black hole. But now, where those broken pieces are mended with light and consciousness, that when I work with others, they can see me and know that it's possible for them. So, as you know, we come into that place of balance and healing. It brings hope and momentum to those who are seeking the same. Because I couldn't walk. I wasn't thinking. I couldn't be in bright lights. Everything was loud. I felt incredibly depressed because everything was just kind of falling apart. And it's not anymore.
Yeah, you're a ray of sunshine. That's amazing.
Thank you, Freddie. And I don't want to wallow in that. And here's the other point too. When people say my Lyme or my whatever, I stop them. And I said, do you realize what you just said? And they're like, what? And I said, this is what I heard. And they're shocked. I said, you are claiming what you don't want. So we're going to start there. And we're going to rephrase that so you can manifest that which you desire. Because when we state out to the universe, this is how I'm feeling, or I am, and it's not what you want, let's bring consciousness to that.
Mm. Yeah, that's stunning. So my other one is, I want you to leave the audience with a question. Something that they can examine their lives or their current paradigm and just challenge the convention, you know, of something they might incorporate or try or open to the possibility of, and all these tools that you work with. It's I'm going to leave that one up to you.
So when we are exploring what might seem as new ways of healing, bringing balance into the body, they're really not new. Energy frequency modalities have been around for eons through sound, through prayer, through meditation, to just examine that and allow the history of that to kind of steep in through what has become a box. But the box is dissolving, and these new ways, which are old ways of support, let's incorporate them both. It doesn't mean that you have to do one without the other. There can be a beautiful, beautiful balance. And the question that I think is really a profound one for many people that I work with, including myself, you know, if there's a lack of joy, identify one thing today that you can do right now, sometime today, that will bring you joy. What is that thing? And I want you to do that thing and do more of it and start paying attention to the things that give you joy, and then allow that to be your path. Mm. That is your path. Follow the joy and you will find your purpose. You will find your balance. You will find the pieces of yourself that have been lost.
Oh, we gotta do, that's the perfect cherry on the top to the interview. Carrie, I want to let everybody know, how do people get a hold of you? Because this is in 54 countries all over the world.
Oh my goodness. How would people
track you down, just to either, maybe people can get on, if they're not in the immediate area, get on a Zoom call with you or do a little consulting work or some distance stuff.
Sure. So I do computer calls, and I have set up Zoom. So that's a possibility. I do phone. I have WhatsApp. We can do that. FaceTime, any of those. So I do work with distance clients. I have a website. It's needing to be a little updated. I've had some shifts here, but my website is Wellness Essentials, which is plural, LLC.com. WellnessEssentialsLLC.com. And my email is Carrie@WellnessEssentialsLLC.com. And my contact information, like my phone number, if you want to text me, is on there. I'm on Carrie Uselman is also on Facebook. Carrie Uselman is also on Instagram. I just have food pictures on Instagram right now. But there are ways to reach me. And I would absolutely, if this calls to you, or if things that I've said, or just my essence, it feels like that is a divine match or support, I'm grateful to connect with you. And we can see how the upliftment piece can be shared. The other piece, Freddie, that I did not mention is the sounds that now come through me, it's like I've become the instrument of the biofeedback of the of whatever, the sound. So I hear these things in my head or my ears, and then I will voice them, and it breaks up patterns somehow. That piece is absolutely beautiful, and also the language of the heart that births forth. And sometimes I'll end with this little drawing. So this is one that I did when I facilitated a meditation. So it's the length of divine light, and it comes out differently. And for especially distance clients, I will create one of these as we're working, and I can mail that to you. And there are so many layers in there that as one gazes at that image, it continues to support the healing process, if that resonates. Yeah, that's one I just grabbed.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Carrie, I'm so excited for people to hear this show. I'll put all the details on how to get a hold of you in the show notes. And I'm sure we're going to do this again. I have so many ideas from our talk now that are spinning in my head as we sit here. But we're going to let everybody go. And I thank you for being here. Namaste.
Thank you so much, Freddie. Namaste to you and everybody that's listening. Blessings.
Ladies and gentlemen, you made it to the end of the podcast. Now, in a world where the average attention span is less than 10 seconds, we just spent almost an hour together. And I think this is the beginning of something really beautiful. Now, one way to support the podcast is to head over to freddysetgo.com and check out my newly launched page, Freddy's Faves, where I've linked every five-star product and healing modality you hear about on the show. Most offer significant discounts by clicking the link. And please know, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and at the same time, they support the show through affiliation. So, check out Freddy's Faves on freddysetgo.com. This episode of the Beautifully Broken podcast was brought to you by our sponsor, AmpCoil, upgrading the vibrations of hearts, minds, and bodies all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to iTunes and leave a five-star review. Grabbing a download is like giving this virtual thumbs up that we're doing it right. And if you want to connect with me, shoot me a message on Instagram at freddysetgo.com or at freddysetgo. That's all for today. Our closing. The world is hurting. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading whatever it takes to move the needle. Remember, while life is pain, putting those fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I'm your host. I love you. Namaste. Have a wonderful day.